That's right, baby. The Drive is live. There you heard Clint Sterner right there. And Tyler Milner is in, well, not in this building, but he is in a building as he is holding it down back at the station. And a good time will be had here. It's Thirsty Thursdays. We always enjoy ourselves. And we were here last week, and we had a good time here last week, and we hope to do the same. So if you were here last week, bring your tail on out. Come on out again. And if you weren't, come on out again as well, as we are out here in Tomball at the Buffalo Wild Wings enjoying a good time here. Again, as I said, if you missed it, you got a chance to win multiple. We'll hand out two Visa gift cards, $25, and then the big one in the 5 o'clock hour, your chance to win a pair of tickets to the Texans and the Jags coming up on Sunday, and it comes with a Bud Light wristband, which will allow you to get into their tailgate and get some free drinks, get some free food. So we are hooking you up, trying to hook you up. So come on out and give your chance to win. Remember, you got to be here. You got to be here for that chance to win. So good times to be had out here. Come on out and join us. Coming up, Clint, the leader of the defense. I would say, even though he hadn't been here that long, I think Azeez Alshire has become the leader of the defense. He will join us coming up at 2:15. So stay tuned. We'll talk. And this ain't a presser that we're playing. No, he is going to sit down and talk with us. Well, he may be standing, but he's going to talk with us coming up at 2:15. So that will be interesting to hear from him. Clint, right off the bat, this is the news injury-wise that I think is important. For the second straight day, these three guys did not practice. Joe Mixon with the ankle, who they said he's been day-to-day. Damian Pierce, who, according to Aaron Wilson yesterday, it was felt there would be promised that he would be able to return this week. He missed today's practice again with a hamstring. And then the big one, Tank Dell, missed again. And according to Aaron Wilson, Clint, Tank Dell is managing pain of a bruised rib and obviously has the wrist and hand situation. And he says at this moment on a Thursday, he is unlikely to play in the game on Sunday versus the Jaguars. So that's becoming a more serious thing with Tank Dell. And Clint, I feel bad for him. I feel bad for him because he's the type of guy that, Clinton, he gets an injury, he misses a game. You know, it is multiplied by people because that was the knock. How can he sustain? Can he survive an NFL season? He didn't last year, and anytime he gets hurt, that's what the question is. I saw somebody already tweet, he's the next Will Fuller. He's the next Will Fuller, a lot of talent, but always getting hurt.
Yeah, I don't know if I can buy into that. I mean, look, we've seen Nico Collins before exploding last year have some injury issues, and he's big body Nico. So I don't buy into it. There's no doubt about it. The smaller frame obviously is relatively speaking more fragile, but as it pertains to this, I don't think there's any like legit evidence that size has anything to do with it. I know this. It don't matter how big you are. If you've got rib issues, it's hard to run at the rate you need to play the wide receiver position and simply breathe without having a lot of pain, much less exposing yourself over the middle, your ribs, that is, over the middle of the field and getting hit again, if not just simply getting tackled. Either way it goes, you know, that's a problem. It's hard to play with that right there. Then you tack onto it as a wide receiver with hand and wrist issues. Now you've got problems. You know, catching a rock with your hands, you got to be all of a sudden maybe have to lean more into being a body catcher. That's a lot for a receiver to deal with, especially with a team that at that wide receiver position. We can talk about the talent level. You know, it may fall a little bit, but they are deep at the wide receiver position. So this is one of those games where that insurance policy is going to pay off.
All right, Clint. Even with that, which is a concern, and I know many fairly are concerned about what this offense will look without Tank Dell in it, being that we talked about it yesterday, the passing game hasn't quite been clicking to the level to the level we thought it would be. That is still not what you sense is your biggest concern. That is still not what you're seeing. You're still in the run game, but even more specific the concern why they have been having struggles.
Yeah, well, there's just one thing that we keep hearing repetitively, and I don't know that we've necessarily, at least on air, connected the dots, right? This all started with Mel Kiper's crazy ass talking about eliminating cover two from the NFL, right? Which I think we all agreed is plum-ass silly. But his point overall is offensive production from the quarterback position and yardage overall for offenses is down. Explosive plays are down, and it's because more defenses are learning how to play cover two or quarters coverage and keeping safeties deep and defending the explosive play, and they're still able to rush the passer and stop the run. So it all starts there. And then it goes into Bobby Slowick and D'Amico Ryans and C.J. Stroud. Hey, what's going on with the offense, guys? Oh, well, you know, a lot of two-shell. We're seeing a lot of two-shell. And, you know, they're defending against the explosive pass. And you know, Ron, I never slowed down to think about this until I think yesterday you were making the point or playing some audio or something. And I thought, you know, this is even more concerning than it should be. I mean, it's football 101, guys. When you've got a defense,
let's say two on the roof.
Yes, you got two on the roof. The first thing you do is run the football, and if you can't run the football, then you're going to have problems. I'm not talking about Texans. I'm talking about in football in general. If a defense can keep corners out wide, two safeties deep, play essentially a light box, and still you cannot run, and I mean cannot run it. I'm not meaning can't go for 250 yards. I'm talking about cannot run it. Then they
like not even doing anything to even make them flinch it coming out of it.
They're telling you we're not even remotely concerned about your run game. We're going to leave two safeties deep, and we're going to give you the opportunity to get a hat on a hat, and you're still not going to be able to move the run.
We couldn't run the ball.
And the Texans have not been able to do that. So now we get to the comments that we keep hearing from these guys. Again, I just haven't connected the dots, but it's one of those where, man, it is a bad place to be in if you're the Texans and you're seeing two shell, you're seeing two on the roof, two safeties high, as much as these guys are talking about you're seeing, and you still can't run it.
Yeah. And you've been talking about comments people have made, even the head coach, D'Amico Ryans. Here is D'Amico talking about that high shell look and how that's been giving them problems this year.
When it comes to the split safety looks, at the end of the day, defenses are trying to eliminate the explosive passes, and that's where offenses are trying to thrive on making the explosives, and that's how you score points. You get an explosive on a drive, typically it'll lead to points. So, you know, strategically, you want to stop the explosives. Offense want to still find a way to design plays to get you to uncover in the back end so they can hit the explosives. So it'll always be that chess match of who wins the explosive battle.
Like he says that there, and to the point that you're making, it's, and I don't mean to speak for Texans fans, but I feel like it's doubly tough to deal with when you think about all the resources they have up front, and you think about the resources. And I know Joe Mixon missed the second half of the Bears game and last week's game, but all that you have put into a run game, and teams are taking less in the box and daring you to run, and not only are you not just running it just like, hey, man, 4 yards a pop, you know, something like that that's decent. Like, you're running it to a place where, hell, man, we're just wasting downs if we try it. And I think that probably frustrates people when you talk, man, we got draft picks, we got contracts, we got money, we got first-rounders, we got Joe Mixon, we got Pierre, and we still can't run the football. And we can't run it. That is, I think, is a place that really frustrates when it looks like the Texans have actually put in resources for them to be able to do something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, for me, it's frustrating to hear. Like, it makes the comments that we're hearing even more frustrating. Like from D'Amico. Like, I mean, my initial response would be to hell with explosives. I mean, if they're playing two safeties back, we got to be able to feed it to them. We got to be able to get downhill and just eat them alive and force them to bring a safety out of center field. Like, if we can't do that, we damn sure can't win in the playoffs. Like, that's you know, it, again, the messaging from the staff is interesting. And then you look at, we talked about Laremy Tunsil, we talked about this offensive line. Like, I've never been around an offensive lineman that wasn't completely disgusted if they walked into a meeting room and they couldn't run the football, period. But if you can't run the football and there's two safeties deep and teams are just going, hey.
I mean, real deep.
Hey, we're going to defend this explosive receiver group that you have because we know your big guys up front can't move the line of scrimmage and can't run the football. Like, that's even more disrespectful. So, again, the mentality of these guys up front, it shouldn't be it's a long season. It shouldn't be, hey, man, we're going to forget last week. It should be, they should be on a mission to absolutely punish folks up front and prove that teams aren't going to be able to sit in cover two. Because right now, you're the butt of the joke. You're the butt of the joke. You think somebody's going to go, oh, well, you know what, C.J. Stroud wasn't good enough, and Nico Collins, Tank Dell, and Stephon Diggs and Robert Woods, those guys weren't good enough to get the explosive. No, they're going to say, well, we couldn't run them up out of a cover two shell because that cover two shell just kept us handcuffed all year long.
We don't like that.
It's going to fall at the feet of the offensive line. It's going to fall at the feet of Bobby Slowick, whether he can generate a run game or not, which we've yet to see him consistently do as a Texan.
Yeah.
And it's going to fall at the feet of the offensive line. And there ain't no bones about it. That's just that's the reality of the situation. And this whole league trend.
It's just got to at least be solid, man. It's just – you have to just have the ability to get – well, it can't be 38 yards rushing, Ron, and then just throw it in the trash.
Ron, I've talked to high school coaches, players, quarterbacks, all of them. Like if you see cover two, right, what's the first thing you do? Every quarterback I've ever worked with, you see cover two, what's the first thing you do? Run the football. Find a way to run. If you can, and then I follow that up with, if your team can't run it against cover two, get ready because you have to throw it 55 times to win this thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's I don't know. I understand the problems, and I've been as frustrated as anybody. But it for whatever reason, that bell just went off in my head. I had a light bulb moment when we were talking about those two high safeties. I'm thinking, it should not be that difficult. If all the coaches are telling us, that's the defense you're getting. This should not be the case with the Houston Texans.
We'll see if they are able to improve that. I would imagine, Clint, it's probably a point of emphasis this week to run the football to try to get better at that, especially if they're going to continue. Because they're going to continue. Everybody is going to continue to give those looks if you aren't able to do anything. If it stifles CJ and stifles this passing game, which it could be without Tank Dell, people are going to continue to dare you to run. And they've got to make hay with it. They've got the guys up front that they should be able to do that. All right, as we continue here live at Buffalo Wild Wings, we're here in Tomball. Come, Tom Ball, excuse me, the way you just flinched at me. I apologize for that one. Tom Ball, we'll be here live until 6 o'clock. Your chance to win multiple prizes, a couple of gift cards, as well as tickets to this Sunday's game. Here at NRG against the Jags. So come on out. All you got to do is fill out your name like my man is doing right now, put it in our raffle box, and you'll have a chance to win. All right, coming up, one of the leaders of this team, the leader of the defense, it seems like, Azeez Alshire will join us right here on The Drive coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right, welcome back in as we are live here on the road, a little thirsty Thursday out here in Tomball, and doing a little Buffalo Wild Wings, having a good time out here. Also, as we said, prizes. Make sure if you're in the building or you're on your way here, courtesy of our good friends at Bud Light, your chance to win tickets to the game on Sunday. We'll be giving those out in the 5 o'clock hour, also a Bud Light wristband as well, where you can use for tailgate drinks and food, all of that for you right here at Buffalo Wild Wings here in Tomball. You have to be here to win them. Also, a couple of $25 Visa gift cards as well, so you can come up here, have a good time, and win some things. All right, let's head to the phone line, and fresh off the practice field, one of the real leaders of this team, and linebacker Azeez Alshire joins us and joins The Drive. And, man, we appreciate you jumping on with us. I've been hearing it. I feel like y'all tired as hell talking about this game against the Vikings and ready to turn the page. And, listen, I get it. And what goes into that? You've been around in this league for a while with multiple teams, and I'm certain this isn't the first time you've been through a game like this. What's the key to turning things around, especially with the expectation this team has?
Hey, how you guys doing, man? Appreciate you guys for having me. But to answer your question, you know, I think a big part of just the NFL, the National Football League, it's a week-to-week league, man. So you see, especially early on in the season, a lot of different mistakes, a lot of different penalties, ironing things out. And I think when you look at just the game and how it went, for the last 2-3 weeks, you know, we've had multiple games, a lot of games with multiple penalties. I think we had 10 penalties both for the last two games or something close to that. So I think when you just look at us and what we could do better to put ourselves in better situations, offense, defense, special teams as a whole, there's so much more room for growth. So, you know, you win two games against two opponents. You know, obviously winning is the most important thing, but you still got to be very aware of what your team is putting on tape and the things that you're struggling with. So I think it was just a good, nice old-fashioned butt-whooping just to remind you that there's nothing in this league that's going to be handed to you, and it should just be a reminder to, you know, all you guys out there, fans, media included, that this is like the National Football. It's the best of the best. So all of that ratings and all the stuff that people want to come up with because it makes the game exciting to talk about, the reality is that it's a week-to-week league.
Hey, Aziz, I've been known to butcher a name or two, man, so I'm just going straight to the source, man. I'm going to need you to go ahead and tell me exactly how to pronounce your full name.
Aziz Solskjaer, you didn't do bad at all. I've heard all types of things.
Well, that was Ron.
I appreciate that.
Ron's bettered me.
Not much.
I'll be just calling you Aziz because I can't say the rest of it, but I think I got it now. Yeah, I said it two or three different times.
It took me a year and a half to get Dore Ogunbowale.
Oh, yeah. Who you talking?
Hey, I know you guys are tired of looking in the rearview mirror, but I want to go back to the Bears game. What did old boy say to you to get that one piece, and why was it a one piece instead of a two or three?
He wanted two.
I think, you know, obviously that's past me now, but just the situation itself, I think people get real antsy about their quarterback, and, you know, I get it, but my biggest thing is, like, if you feel some type of way, you should probably block for him, you know, instead of getting mad after the fact. So, you know, it's all said and done. You know, I'm not going to speak too much on all of that stuff, but for me, I'm just trying to, I play hard. That's what I do. That's what this defense does, and that's how this team is supposed to play. So he's inside. He's in bounds. I'm going to try to hit him, and I did, and they didn't like it, and it's shoving me while I'm on the ground, and I think I just snapped. My instincts took over from there because you got 15 people surrounding you, talking crazy to you, and shoving me on the ground, so I just snapped.
I'm with you. Where I'm from, that usually gives you the right to throw a couple of hands, as well as if they try to poke your eye out through a face mask like they did Nico.
Yeah,
I was just trying to get my face, man. That's all. I was just trying to get my space.
Hey, just don't get in my personal space, and you won't catch this one piece.
Yeah, you ain't no flight. You fight. Yeah. Ain't no flight guy.
Hey, I'm interested, though, Aziz, because I think watching y'all, man, there's two of y'all on defense that live on the edge constantly, and that's you and Jimmy. And as fans, hell, we love to watch it, right? But I'm interested in y'all's, from y'all's perspective of you're living on the edge and you know it. Anybody could interpret a certain kind of hit, and I'm talking about the legal kind, a certain kind of hit, you know, to be a flag or something. I mean, is that something you and Jimmy or your kind of player? Is that are you aware of that, or are you just like, hell, I'm just gonna play physical football and let the chips fall?
Yeah, to be completely honest, for me and Jimmy's been the same way since I've known him as a rookie in San Francisco. But same for me. Like, I just don't, like, I play the game, and a lot of us, I explained to the rookies, I talked to the rookies a couple of days ago, and I just explained to them, like, when you play this game, you probably gotta be a little bit messed up in the head to, like, think it's okay to go out there and repeatedly hit somebody over and over again, and get up and then want to go hit yourself and, like, celebrate and get all crazy and then do it again. It's like, it's not normal. Like, our body is not naturally even meant to do stuff like that. So you gotta be a little different to be able to play defense, especially play defense on this team and to make it in this league. So I think for me, just my whole life has been grimy and gritty, and that's just how I play. I go as hard as I can, because at the end of the day, like, I want to win. Like, I whatever rep it is, whatever play it is, like, you know, people always, like I said, same thing, talk about, oh, where you should be able to do what you shouldn't. Oh, this guy's not that good at this, or this guy. I just want to show that I could do whatever it might be on that given play. And if it means hitting somebody, then I'll show I could do that. If it means covering somebody, I want to show I could do that too. So I just think that when you play the game really, really hard and passionate about it, sometimes people who aren't on that same level as you, it can be perceived in a different light.
Azeez Alshire joining us, middle linebacker here for your Houston Texans, joining the drive right now. And Azeez, listen, this is an interesting matchup coming up. You're facing a team that's been struggling and struggled offensively here to start the season. But you guys obviously had what happened in your last game against the Vikings. What's the thought process? What's the mindset after watching film, seeing what's going on with Jacksonville? What's the thought process of the defense coming up?
Man, it's honestly the same as it is every single week. And it goes back to what I said, you know, in the first question you asked me. So it's the National Football League. It's a week-to-week league. So look at Jacksonville. I think one would say when they're playing Cleveland, they were up in the game for a good portion of that game and ended up losing towards the end. So it's like you see all types of losses that they took. Some of them were closer than others. Some of them were like the blowout loss that you just saw. But at the end of the day, like I said, I'm not going into any game like relaxed and feeling like, oh man, it's gonna be an easy week. Like this isn't college. Like there's no national football team that you're getting paid money to go out and do your job that is just gonna lay an egg for you because you know what you're supposed to be, this big bad team. So
hey Azeez, what's D'Amico like in the helmet, man, on game day?
I just think that he's exactly who he is. You know, he's poised. He got a lot of energy, got all the indicators, all the tips. Sometimes if you ever see me just looking at the sideline, putting the thumbs up, it's me just telling him, like, all right, I got you. Because sometimes he's willing to give me a whole playbook worth of things to remind him to do that. Because, you know, that's just how he is. You know, he knows everything. And, you know, for coaches, especially somebody like him, he's so passionate about the game because realistically, you know what I'm saying, you coach because you can't play anymore. And he was a really good player. And mentally, he's always been that sharp. So I think, you know, when you're in it and you're invested in it that much, it's just like it's your baby, it's everything. But you can't play. You gotta coach. So I think
How critical is that though? You talk about him saying, "Hey, remind this guy to do that or this guy to do that." I mean, as a player, that's got to help you tremendously, right? I mean, I know you know most of it, and you got to say, "Hey, man, I got you, coach. I got you." But there's bound to be a number of times where it's like, yeah, let me get in 51's ear and make sure he remembers this. I mean, that's got to be a hell of a combination in a good way, right?
No, for sure. I think, and that's the thing is like I kind of think back to it because I remember when I was a rookie, and this is really where it used to help me when I was in San Francisco. He was my coach, and he was always in my ear trying to remind me about things I needed to do. Where I was at a point where I wasn't on all the tips, and I didn't know everything. I remember he used to try to help me like every play, try to tell me what I was supposed to do, and. While it was good at first because I actually was still trying to figure out what the hell I needed to do, once I figured it out, it just became like this clutter in my brain. And so my signal to him was just like that thumbs up, like, hey, I got you. I'm good. But 100%, like, just hearing it, I just, you know, so used to hearing his voice, so used to hearing the things that he's going to say. So even if it's something that I already know, that's why I just give him that thumbs up because, like, hey, I already told so-and-so this. Or the times that he does say it and I didn't, it's that thumbs up, like, oh, appreciate you, got you. I'm going to tell him right now, like, so, you know, it's definitely like I would rather him tell me a million things and just be like whatever than for him to not tell me anything and then might be something that he does know that could have helped us. So,
Azeez, you just talked about your time in San Francisco and you were part of championship team level teams with those type of aspirations. How do you sense this team is handling high expectations thus far?
I mean, I think the expectation, again, is just, like, I'm sorry to beat a dead horse, but I just think it doesn't really matter because, you know, like I said, you go into a year, the expectation for me, I just go back to myself, my own experiences. The expectation for me as a player coming to this league was an undrafted player who, you know, probably make the practice squad, blah, blah, blah. So if I listen to whatever expectation somebody who's not playing the game says about me or about my team, then I'm setting myself up for failure. Either way it goes, because I can't ride the wave of the media. I can't say, oh, the media say I'm supposed to be the best linebacker, so that's good. But then the week that I play bad and y'all say, hey, he sucks, man, we need somebody new. I should have never got rid of somebody else. Like, I can't play those games with myself. And I tell the guys all the time, like, you can't feed into what nobody thinks but yourself. When you watch the film, when you look in the mirror, be honest with yourself and say, what could you have done better? What are you doing good? And go from there. So for me, and the guys, I think we've done a good job of not really caring what nobody else says and what anybody else has to think about what we do but us. So obviously when we have a game, even where we might win, it's like, hey man, do we really like what we put on tape? Could we have done a little bit more? And I think that's what's been pretty special, because I think that is what championship teams do. They don't worry about the outside noise. They focus on themselves and what they can do better, regardless of what the records might say.
All right, just want to let you know, nobody on this show has told you and said that you suck.
Would never do that.
I appreciate it.
I won't say never, but nobody has said that you have sucked. No, man. Appreciate you taking the time out joining us, man. I know you got a busy schedule, and good luck, and hopefully you guys can come out and get back on that winning track coming up on Sunday.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you both, man. Y'all have a good day.
All right, that is linebacker for your Houston Texans, Azeez Alshire. I really feel uncomfortable with him saying yes, sir, to me.
You're 40. You're 40 now, man.
You're getting older, man. It's just wisdom.
I believe if he saw me, he wouldn't say yes.
No, he would not. Especially that blonde and gold tips. He would not. He would not.
He wouldn't say yes, sir.
We had somebody last week in this place right here said that you sound a lot older than you look, didn't he?
Yeah,
Wasn't that the deal? Sound? Wasn't the look? It was the sound.
It was
right?
The sound, not the look. The look has always been, wow, you're younger than I thought.
Yeah. That's a good thing. You'd rather sound older than look older.
Yes, yes.
So yeah. you got the right side of that one.
Yeah, I ain't got that. I don't want to be Barbara Bush.
Barb getting a drive by?
I'm just saying, Barbara Bush
Foundation does wonders.
It does. It does. That does not take away the count that Barbara Bush looked like she was 87 for 30 years. When her husband was the president, she looked like she was 80. When her son was the president, and there was a deep stretch between 2006 and 2000, she looked like she was 80. So I mean, I don't mean to get off subject there. All right, we appreciate him from jumping on with this. It was good to hear from him, and you can hear Clint why he came right up in the building and was, to me, the leader of the defense and one of the top leaders of the team. You can hear his message and how he can come over and take over a team. You can hear why a guy like Will Anderson would defer to him and see him as a leader.
Well, it's just super authentic, right? I mean, it's who he is. There's nothing fake about it. Whether you're talking about the competitiveness, the elite communication skills, the you know, coming up in the grit and grime kind of deal, like it's he's super authentic, so it's easy to sell what it is he does, and because he plays the game that way.
Yeah. From the text line, Ron, do you believe Andy Reid has had sex lately? I'll hang up and listen. Yes, his wife's an animal.
Oh, I would never thought that.
She wears fur coats. She's an animal. I think she is.
I mean, you said that pretty matter of fact.
I'm pretty confident. Andy's still knocking out the box. Coming up, as we are live here at Buffalo Wild Wings here in Tomball, make your way on out here, enjoy some good food and drinks, and come hang out with us as well. Hey, we got a little betting segment that we want to unveil coming up. Get your best bet. So stay tuned and write down. And take this gospel for you to make you a little money coming up. And something I want you to think about. Chew on this a bit. Right now, where it is, right now, is the Astros season already a success? We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in. Make your way on out here. A little thirsty Thursday, Buffalo Wild Wings. If you are in the building and you have not put your name in that raffle box, and you too good to win a couple of $25 Visa gift cards, or at least maybe tickets to the game on Sunday, shame on you. All right, you got a chance to win that coming up. We will hook somebody up with the first gift card in the 3 o'clock hour, second one in the 4 o'clock hour, and then the 5 o'clock hour. Hell yeah, I'm going to save it to the end, so you got to be here. We will hook somebody up with a pair of tickets to the Jags-Texans game on Sunday that comes with a Bud Light wristband where you can get some food, drinks at the tailgate, all of this and all of that courtesy of our good friends at Bud Light. So come on out here. Or if you're here, sign yourself up so you can be a part of that. All right. As I said, here in a little bit, be thinking about that. I'd like to get your thoughts, 713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch as well, we'll get to this in just a second. Do you deem this season as a success for the Astros already? Or do you deem it as a success and whatever else? Man, we got two people shaking their heads, Tyler. I feel like Tyler doesn't agree with this. Do you deem it as a success already and the rest of it is kind of icing on the cake the rest of the way? We'll get to that
in
just
no?
a second. Huh?
They were saying no, shaking their head no?
No, they're shaking their head yes. Hell yeah, emphatically. These two.
Oh,
right
I see what
front.
You're saying, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think Tyler would agree with
no,
that.
No, it's been fun, but they got more to do.
Yeah, that's what I thought. We'll get your thoughts on that. All right, let's do it. Let's come up with our bets. Best bets of the weekend. Hey, and then, hey, there's a big game tonight as well. That can be included as well. I will kick this thing off. You know, of the three of us, I'm not the biggest bettor now. I mean, I've had some success, but I'm not the biggest bettor of the three of us. But Cowboys are -5 tonight in New York. And I'll be damned. If they lose this one tonight, they got some problems. They need to.
It isn't on my schedule.
This is, to me, a must-win game. They should come out really, really hot. People have been talking trash about them the entire week. This is a game that they should absolutely annihilate the Giants. They did it multiple times. Last year when they started off the season in New York, they beat them by 40. They beat the brakes off. And I think this Giants team, obviously without Saquon Barkley, is worse. So I think it's a good bet. I don't know if Tyler would do it, if Clint would do it, but for me, I would take the over on the Cowboys.
The over? You're taking the line. You're taking the Cowboys
-5 or -5.5?
-5.
I don't hate it, but I actually tease the line down because it makes me a little bit nervous because just knowing the Dallas Cowboys and what they tend to do and crap all over themselves at times.
Not against bad teams.
No, I know, but I don't hate it, but I tease that line.
Myself against a bad team one time.
I tease that line from -5 down to -3.
Not the 5-11 Cowboys that you played with under Dave Campbell. I know y'all feeding. But no, that's the one I would go with today. All right. Clint, what's your best bet coming up over the weekend?
Well, I'm going to go with the prop, and it's not the weekend; it's just tonight. I'm sticking to tonight, baby.
Why not? I did too.
I watched the Giants. In fact, this is when I decided they're going to be the worst team in football. I watched the Giants do everything they could to force the football to Malik Nabers, and that trend has continued into the regular season. He's the most targeted receiver in football, and his line of over-under catches is 6.5. I think the Cowboys are the worst run defense in football right now, giving up damn near 190 yards a game. I think they're going to load up to stop the run, and I think that's going to play directly into the Giants' hands in terms of feeding Malik Nabers and throwing the football to Malik Nabers. So I'm going – I need the over 6.5 catches for Malik Nabers.
Over
6.5 catches.
They do force it to him, man. Dan Jones, we watched it here. Dan Jones in preseason.
37 targets in 3 games.
A rookie, yeah. And he's cold-blooded. He's good.
Yeah, he'll catch ones that may not even be intended for him.
No, yeah, he goes for him. Yeah, he's still beating himself up the one he dropped. But
I'm going to go with the over. Now, again, I think the Cowboys, they've got to stop the run. Zim is at a point where it's the worst run defense. We watched Derrick Henry just do what he did to the Cowboys last week. They've got to stop the run. I think they load up and they're creating some one-on-ones outside. And you know Daniel Jones and company will damn sure go his direction in one-on-one situations.
And listen, I got to say to that point too, I think if there is a team that kind of pulls away in this game, I think it would be the Cowboys. And then I think even more Josh, the Giants are going to be throwing the ball a lot, and he's going to get that. I like that in you. All right, Tyler, what's your best bet?
Yeah, for the reason you just said, I'm taking Daniel Jones over 202.5 passing
ballsy,
yards.
Man, I just can't bet on Dan Jones.
Yeah, I know. He'll be throwing a lot, though.
Well, is his girl going to be there? That might be looking. If Kay is there, maybe that might.
Don't believe that's his girl.
It's Kay. If Kate,
I ain't seen a picture one.
If Kate does work before this game starts, Tyler, you might be holding something. Now, I'd like to retract my statement then. What do you got to get? 202? 202.5?
Yep.
Yeah, somebody's thumbs giving you the thumbs up on this thing. So no, that could definitely hit. So Tyler's on Daniel Jones. You want to make some money tonight, Daniel Jones, 202.5, taking the over on that. Clint taking the over on Malik Nabers and those six catches. And I think the Cowboys, I think they win comfortably tonight. So I'm taking that minus five. I'm taking the over on
Tyler. Just curious, what is the total in this game tonight? Do you have that off the top of your head?
I don't, but I'll check.
Yeah, that's tricky because I think the Cowboys are going to score, but boy, I just don't trust the Giants.
45.
That's a sexy thing to look at. All right. All right, as we continue here at Buffalo Wild Wings, come on out, hang out with us here in Tomball. The Astros, I said this, I wanted you to think about that. I see some people who have chimed in, said we've got to at least get to the wild card series. I'm wondering, do you see this as a success already? Everything they've had to deal with, all the adversity they've had to deal with, players hurt, them getting here down 10 games to the Mariners. Halfway through the season, it felt like almost to the All-Star break, trailing 7-19 start. Do you deem this as a success already? And the rest is kind of, you know, icing on the cake. The rest of this season is icing on the cake. Or do they need to do more for this to be a successful season?
Are we talking about just win the division?
Just like what, so far right now, do you deem what has happened?
No.
No, this is not a success. These two fellas over here shook you off.
No.
They needed it. So what would be a successful season for you? Because I know you're not one that says they got to win it all for this to be successful.
No, I think you get to an ALCS. You're a championship caliber team that year. I mean that to me, that's like you get the NFC, the AFC championship. People, oh, you hadn't been to a Super Bowl. You made it to a Super Bowl and lost. Look, I mean that's we're really splitting hairs if we're having that discussion. Those are really, really good football teams, or in this case, a really, really good baseball team that gets to that level. I wouldn't necessarily say they got to get to another ALCS, but they damn sure got to get out of the wild card round.
So for you, at least getting out of here, round.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tyler's, I know you, and I know what. So what? Because I know you don't look at this as a success. What would you deem as a successful season this year for the Astros?
ALCS minimum.
That's it. That's it. So as Champ Slice on the text line said, the only success is a championship. It's a little strong. This is an organization that I think the promo is running, Tyler, where you said they collected banners, baby. They collect, and not just certain banners, they collect big banners.
Yeah.
They want big flags out there in the outfield. And to me, you know, I'm with you. At the very least, if they get into the divisional round and, you know, they're running up against, you know, the Yankees or the Guardians and it's a well-played series, I could see that, but I'm with you. This team has gone to 7 straight ALCSs. I think a successful season, I'm with Tyler and you, is you got to at least get into that game.
It's not the Yankees celebrating getting into the playoffs. You know, we got bigger expectations than they do up in the Bronx. I don't, did y'all see that? The Yankees freaking out about just making the playoffs? They should be embarrassed.
What did they do? I thought everybody
out. They partied like they won the ALCS, which we all know if they run into the Astros, it's just strictly impossible. But, no, that it's just not what the Astros do now. We have bigger expectations.
Well, we celebrated, and I think guys were somewhat hungover after winning another
division win, or division. Winning the division. The Yankees partied like it was 1999 whenever they found out they were making October.
99 was a great year, brother.
It's a great song.
And it's a great
song.
Shout out
to Prince.
Yeah, no doubt.
Shea partied like that.
Look, here's the thing. They are the Astros. Yes, it was a season full of adversity, and you won 88 games and won a division, another division title. That was a successful regular season. But they're whole now, right? I mean, and I understand Verlander's not Verlander, and that, but I mean, you hell, if Verlander does pitch, it's not because he's one of your best five pitchers right now.
I would say their top two pitchers are pitching as well as,
I mean,
maybe
starting pitching ain't a problem. I mean, I mean, with the exception of this little strained knee or whatever that Alvarez has, I mean, you're whole. You got everybody back. Everybody's going to be healthy. And everybody's played pretty good ball down the stretch. So I don't know. For me, it's we're here, and it was there's a story to tell about the season, but you're here now, and yeah, there's I can't go as strong as Tyler the ALCS, but I can damn sure get out of this wild card. You losing this wild card round, I'd be disappointed as hell.
You'd be disappointed. Yes. Yeah. All right. Coming up, we'll give you the latest because there's some things we need to talk about when it comes to the Texans' injuries. We'll get the official injury report, but some major pieces the Texans could be without coming up on Sunday. We'll discuss that coming up next.